Well, welcome everybody to the 2018 Easter program. On behalf of the entire Sunday School, we want to say thank you for making the effort to get here and brave the cold and snow in spring. Ridiculous, but it is what it is. We're going to begin our program off this year with a combined song, Victory in Jesus.
Save me from glory, how in thy love. As we be... Hello? Hello? As we begin our program, we find Jesus and his followers approaching Jerusalem.
In Matthew we read, the disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heaven! When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, Who is this? The crowds answered, This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee.
Jesus, knowing that the praise would soon change to condemnation, continued to teach, spent special memorials, moments with his closest friends in the upper room, and ultimately sought out a place to intercede with his Father.
Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, where he said to them, "Sit here while I go over there and pray."
And he took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled.
Then he said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me."
Going a little farther, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will."
Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. "Couldn't you men keep watch with me for 1 hour?" he asked Peter.
"Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptations. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak."
Jesus went away a second time and prayed, "Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken unless I drink from it, may your will be done."
Then he came back and found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. So he went away again, and he prayed for the third time, saying the same thing.
Then he returned to his disciples and said unto them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Look, the hour is come. The Son of Man is delivered into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer."
In the Garden of Gethsemane, Christ gave us the example of running to a place of solitude to cry out to God in anguish. We can rejoice today that the same opportunity is available to us. Now we will sing "All Alone."
The ground Jesus spent the night in prayer. He's a pattern for us all alone. If we'll only steal away in some portion of the day, we will find it always pays to be alone. There are times I like to be all alone with Christ my Lord. I can tell him of my troubles all alone. There are times I like to be all alone. Troubles all alone. When our days to fast to pray for the pilgrim and his way, there are days to be in Christ all alone. We can tell him all our grief, he will give us quick relief. There are times I'd like to be just all alone. There are times I'd like to be all alone with Christ my Lord. I can tell him of my troubles all alone. There are times I like to be all alone with Christ my Lord. I can tell him of my troubles all alone. When my heart is broken up with a tear so lonesome cup, there are times I like to cry all alone. In our blessed Lord divine, there is peace and joy sublime. When we take our sorrows all to him alone. There are times I like to be all alone with Christ my Lord. I can tell him of my troubles all alone. There are times I like to be all alone with Christ my Lord. I can tell him of my troubles all alone.
In the garden, Jesus was betrayed by Judas, his own disciple, and arrested. Then he was taken to Caiaphas, the high priest, and the Sanhedrin, where he was accused of blasphemy, spit on, and sent to Pilate for judgment. Although Pilate did not personally find Jesus guilty, he ultimately handed over the decision of the punishment to the people. The angry mobs cried out for Jesus to be crucified. In Matthew 27 it says, "When Pilate saw that he was getting nowhere, but that instead an uproar was starting, he took water and washed his hands in front of the crowd. 'I am innocent of this man's blood,' he said. 'It is your responsibility.' All the people answered, His blood is on us and our children.
Continuing in Matthew 27, we read, "They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him, and they twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on his head. They put a staff in his right hand. Then they knelt in front of him and mocked him. 'Hail, King of the Jews,' they said. They spit on him and took the staff and struck him on the head again and again. After they had mocked him, they took off the robe and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him away to crucify him."
The Easter story. Jesus came to compensate for all the wrongs we do. He came to earth to die for us so we'd be born anew.
"This bitter cup, let it pass for me," he cried in his plaintive voice. "Yet not my will, but thine be done," he said in his faithful choice.
The Judas kiss would seal his fate. He faced a hostile crowd. The governor Pilate saw through it all. Jesus' guilt he disavowed. "I wash my hands of all this," Pilate said. "Let it be." But the crowd said, "Crucify him now and set Barabbas free."
Pilate yielded to their wish, and Jesus was led away. The soldiers beat him and mocked him, but he continued to obey.
A crown of thorns lay on his head as the sentence was carried out. His hands and feet were pierced with nails, but he did not scream or shout.
"Father, please forgive them for this crime. They not know what they do." He said this despite his torment, because he was thinking of me and you.
"It is finished," he sighed in his anguish and pain as his body gave up to death. The curtain tore, and darkness fell after he took his last breath.
The best of the story is the very last part. It's why in Easter we're filled with pleasure. Death cannot our Savior hold. His power is beyond all measure.
Jesus rose from the grave and was seen all around. Ever since, he's inspired devotion, and we'll be with him for eternity when we get our heavenly promotion. That's why Easter is a major event. Jesus suffered and died in our place. He rose and forgave us and loves us still, our Savior of matchless grace. That is the Easter story.
In Luke, we read, "When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him there, along with the other criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. Jesus said, 'Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing.'" And then in Matthew, we continue, "From noon until 3 p.m, darkness came over all the land. About 3 p.m, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, 'Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani,' which means, 'My God, why have you forsaken me?' When some of those standing there heard this, they said, 'He is calling Elijah.' Immediately, one of them ran and got a sponge. He filled it with wine vinegar and put it on a staff and offered it to Jesus to drink. The rest said, "Now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to see him and save him." And when Jesus had cried out in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit.
At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook, the rocks split, and the tombs broke open. The bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. They came out of the tombs after Jesus' resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared to many people. When the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus, saw the earthquake and all that had happened, they were terrified and exclaimed, "Surely he was the Son of God."
Jesus loves me, this I know, the Easter story tells me so. He died for me to bear my sin. He opened heaven to let me in. Jesus loved me when he died. He loved me enough to be crucified. But his death didn't last very long because his power is so strong.
Jesus came back from the dead, I know, because the Bible said.
Jesus is my Lord and King. Love and praise to him I bring.
When I die, I'll rise up too. We'll all be in heaven, me and you.
We'll see Jesus face to face up in heaven, that happy place.
The Easter story brings much joy to us all, each girl and boy.
Jesus is my Savior now. Heaven and earth to him must bow. Jesus loves me. This I know. The Easter story tells me so.
The next day, the one after Preparation Day, the chief priests and the Pharisees went to Pilate. "Sir," they said, "we remember that while he was alive, that deceiver said, 'After 3 days, I will rise again.'"
"So give the order for the tomb to be made secure until the third day. Otherwise, his disciples may come and steal the body and tell people that he has been raised from the dead. This last deception will be worse than the first." "Take a guard," Pilate answered. "Go, make the tomb as secure as you know how." So they went and made the tomb secure by putting a seal on the stone and posting the guard.
In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn towards the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre.
And there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it.
And his countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men.
And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay.
And go quickly and tell his disciples he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee, there shall ye see him.
And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring the disciples word.
And as he went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail, and they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him.
Then Jesus said unto them, Be not afraid, go and tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there they shall see me.
Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted.
And then Jesus said unto them, All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me.
Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey the commandments that I have given you. And surely, I am with you always, to the very end of the age.
Come awake, come awake, come and rise.
Christ is risen from the dead. We are one with him again. Come awake, come awake. Come and rise up from the grave.
In Philippians, we read, "In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross.
Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under earth, and every tongue should acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. May we acknowledge Jesus Christ as our Lord today and rejoice in his victory over sin and death.
Okay, so to conclude our Easter program, the Bible class will be doing a dramatic reading from Romans 8:32, which says, "He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give all things?" So in keeping with our tradition for the Bible class, we've been doing dramatic readings for the last 3 or 4 years, which we tend to like. So we pick a sermon that focuses on a little bit different angle of the Easter program. And in this passage, we're going to focus in on two words, the "for us" part of that verse, and really what the magnitude of what that promise means from God's perspective.
Romans 8:32. "He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him over for us all, how shall he not also, with him, freely give us all things?"
It's an argument from the greater to the lesser.
From the hard to the easy.
From the insurmountable to the easily surmountable.
And it goes like this.
If he didn't spare his own son, which is an impossible thing to imagine, that he would hand his son over to butchery.
If he could overcome the obstacle of his love for his son
and just kill him,
nothing would stop him from fulfilling whatever goal he had in doing that, because that's the hardest thing imaginable for God.
What could be harder to imagine for God than to give his son up to spitting
and beating
and a crown of thorns
and lashes
and nails
and spear
and mocking
and rejection
and betrayal
and abandonment
and lying
and the burden of the sins of the world? What could be harder for God than to say,
I will give my infinitely worthy son to that kind of horror?
Nothing is harder for God to do than that. And Paul's reasoning is, if he could get over that obstacle to our salvation, nothing would stop him from giving us everything with him.
Which is good for us.
I wonder if you believe that.
He is for you.
Always and in all circumstances, without any exceptions, if you are in Christ. Never against us.
None of our sicknesses
is a penalty from a God who is against us.
None of our broken cars or failed appliances
is a punishment from God.
None of our marital strife
is a sign of his wrath.
None of our lost jobs
is a penalty for our sin.
None of our wayward children
is a crack of the whip of God's retribution.
What an amazing difference it would make in our lives if we believe this.
Look to Jesus.
Love the cross. Live in love.
And fear no more.
Let's try this. That good? I have goosebumps, and I hope you do too. In Mark, Jesus said that we should receive the kingdom as little children, and can I call them kids? Kids and teachers, thanks for the message that you left us today. And that dramatic reading was powerful. Replaying that in our minds about what Christ has done for us. So I thought, just in closing, I want to think about the way you started Sunday school with victory in Jesus. And the high school's reading to us reminded us, adults, that we have victory in Jesus. And the sermon this morning said that we shouldn't look at the physical. Or it reminded us that Jesus came to turn our eyes, to lift our eyes to the spiritual. So I think our hearts expanded looking at our grandchildren and our children up here giving us the story and reminding us of the story. But grandmas and grandpas and dads and moms, let's take our eyes off the physical things and let's look to Jesus and the victory in Jesus. Because if we live like that and if we believe like that, like we heard in Romans 8, we will make a difference. So thanks, Ben, and thanks, Sunday school teachers, and thanks, kids, for the day. Let's find victory in Jesus, all of us. Let's stand and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we do have goosebumps. We are inspired by your living word, by the truth and the reminder of what this Palm Sunday means. The contrast over the triumphant entry into the city of Jerusalem and then the week ending on the cross. Lord, we pray as we leave this place today that we would remember what this week means, that throughout this week we would be minded of the victory that comes in the end. That we would take our eyes off the physical things of this life, the things that worry us, the bad things that happen, Lord, and we would trust in you, our Savior. We thank Thee, our Father. We thank Thee, Lord, our Savior, and we pray that this grace would be understood by us all, that even though we be who we are, that we can come to You, Lord, and our sin is paid for, it's redeemed. Lord, we thank Thee without the words to express it. And we pray now a blessing upon the teachers who have thought and prayed and practiced. And Lord, for our children and our grandchildren, we pray for them. Lord, bless them. Watch over them going through this life. Protect them from evil. Protect them physically and emotionally and spiritually, Lord. We pray for them. We now leave it to Thee, and we thank Thee and we praise Thee, and we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.